Good morning and welcome. Hard Hearts and Kids of the Kingdom is the title of the sermon given by the Reverend Christopher Johnson in today's worship service coming to you from Zion Lutheran Church in downtown Wausau, Wisconsin. The presiding pastor is Reverend Theodore Gullhauger. We invite you to join us in praising God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through this worship service. This Sunday's radio broadcast is sponsored by Wayne and Lorraine Kleinschmidt in celebration of their 64th wedding anniversary on September 14th. The service begins with the prayers for confession and absolution. Then the congregation will sing the entrance hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, number 549 in the Lutheran Service Book. The organist is Cantor Irene Beathy. The flute is played by Jacob Roseman. The choir is the Zion Cantori. The lector is Jessica Ray.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As an ordained minister and servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Love in peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Holy Church, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Merciful Father, your patience and loving kindness toward us have no end. Grant that by your Holy Spirit, we may always think and do those things that are pleasing in your sight, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock, and to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked, and were not ashamed. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 128.
Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table.
The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor, because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who, through fear of death, were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Pharisees came up and, in order to test Jesus, asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us confess the faith with one heart. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, Father Almighty, from thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
In response to the word of God, the congregation sings the hymn of the day, "Our Father by Whose Name," hymn number 863 in a Lutheran service book.
Thank you. Grace and peace to you all from our God and Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What is a hard heart? We hear in the Bible a number of different occasions in which a hard heart is mentioned. Pharaoh from Exodus infamously had a hard heart, a heart that was made even harder by God trying to free the Hebrew people from slavery. Because nothing that God did or said made a difference to Pharaoh, the only thing left for God to do was to make Pharaoh's heart even harder. Only then, perhaps, would Pharaoh see the error of his ways. Another important place, an infamous place we hear about hard hearts is when the prophet Jeremiah attempted preaching repentance and faith to his own people, the people of Jerusalem. People who 1,000 years before had been in slavery under the hard-hearted Pharaoh. Jeremiah preaches to them. The Lord speaks through Jeremiah these words in chapter 5. This people has a stubborn and rebellious heart. God's own people have a hard heart. The Lord, through Jeremiah, turns up the heat on this hard heart of theirs when in chapter 17 he preaches, the heart is deceitfully and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So what, again, we must ask is a hard heart? A hard heart is one that does not want to listen to God. A hard heart is one that refuses to receive correction. A hard heart is one that is bent on following their own way, even if it means going down a path of self-destruction. They just don't care. A hard heart is one which does not want to either give or receive forgiveness. A hard heart wants to be in the right, wants their pound of flesh from those who have wronged them, who wants in the end to be their own God, the arbiter of what is good, right, holy, just, and true. Satan loves hard, uncompromising hearts. Jesus loves to transform hard and uncompromising hearts into new hearts, hearts that would be receptive to all that God has to say and all that God has to give, whether that be a word of mercy and forgiveness or even a word of rebuke and discipline. Because it comes from God, it is always good. This is why in our passage for today, Jesus goes right for the heart. He hears the question from the Pharisees, Jesus, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? But Jesus sees a couple of things going on here. On the one hand, he sees the malice in the question. These people really don't care that much about people getting divorced. They just want to throw this question at Jesus to test him, to see if they can trip him up in his words and in his answer. They don't really care about divorce or those who are getting divorced. They want to trip up Jesus. They want to put him to the test. And on the other hand, the masterful diagnostician of humanity, Jesus, the great physician of our souls, points out why God permitted divorce in the first place. Because of the hardness of the human heart. And Jesus is right, of course. Ultimately, why does anyone get divorced? Because of the hardness of heart. Now, I can't cover every example of why divorce happens and the complexities that are involved, but these are a couple of examples, a few very general examples I'm going to give to show briefly how hard hearts can be at work in a marriage on the verge of divorce. Look at a wife who has been physically, psychologically, emotionally abused by her husband for years and finally comes to divorce him. Why does she want to do this? Well, because he has failed miserably in loving his wife as Christ loves the church. That is the true example for a man to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And because of the hardness of his heart, does this marriage fail? Or think of a husband now seeking to divorce his wife because she has left him, abandoned him and their children. Because she's gone off gallivanting with another man, trying to relive her 20s that she lost through caring for her family, her motherly responsibilities. The husband has begged and pleaded with her to return so that they can rectify what has gone wrong and to make peace and move on and go forward for the sake of the kids and for their future together. Offering to go to counseling, but to no avail. Why would this end in divorce? Well, because she refused to respect and honor her husband due to the hardness of her heart. Or look at a couple that's been together for 20 or 30 years, now on the verge of divorcing. Why are they even considering such a thing? They just can't get along. They can't listen to one another. The husband stays out late with his friends, spending no time with his wife. The wife gets angry at this time and time again, and yet the man continues to put his bar friends ahead of his wife and just ignores all of her pleadings to spend some time with her. The wife racks up one bill after another, thinking that buying everything under the sun will make her happy, even if her husband won't. And when he asks about the massive amount of debt that they have accrued, she just explodes at him and refuses to talk, and then he goes back to the bar to be with his friends, and the circle continues. Well, who's at fault here? Both. They both have hard hearts. And because of their hard hearts, they think divorce is the only option, the only way forward. Only hard hearts can cause divorce. This is what Jesus is trying to reveal to the Pharisees and also to us. That's why God permitted Moses to write down what he did in Deuteronomy about divorce, because of the hardness of the human heart. And if you've ever gone through the pain of divorce, you know this too, whether you yourself went through it, your parents went through it, you were walking alongside of a friend who was going through it, you know the pain and the struggle and the anguish that this is causing. As we all know, nobody gets married just so that they can get divorced. That's not a part of the plan. That's not a part of the picture. That's not on the radar as husband and wife come down the aisle to make those promises of lifelong fidelity to one another. But it happens. When marriage doesn't work, the best remedy is repentance and forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness is what helps a Christian to move on from the pain and the sting of divorce and helps them from having their heart hardened even more. You grieve what has happened, you repent if you are the offending party, and usually it's both people, sometimes just one, but usually both, and you ask the Lord to cover your life again and again with forgiveness. But you don't have to go through the agony of divorce to have a hard heart revealed. Hard hearts are found all over the place. In the unmarried, in the betrothed, in the happily married, in teenagers, in senior citizens, and everyone in between. Hard hearts are found in the healthy and in the sick, in the wealthy and in the poor. Hard hearts are found all over the political spectrum and are at work in every single ethnicity throughout the world. Or to put it more simply, hard hearts you can find wherever you find people, wherever you find sinners. This is why Jesus sets before us the example of receiving the kingdom of God as a child. Children, they love to be loved. They love to be guided and taught. That's why they want you to read the same thing over and over and over again. Even if you've read Cat in the Hat 50 times in one day, your son or granddaughter, they want you to read it once again because they can't get enough of that love and attention and affection that you are giving. And children, most of the time, understand why they need to be corrected about things. They might not like getting corrected or discipline, but they can understand why, provided that their parents or their caring adults truly love them and don't treat them as some sort of annoying responsibility. This is what Jesus was trying to do for the Pharisees, lovingly direct their hard hearts to Genesis to see God's true intent for marriage that they were just simply missing. We all know that no marriage or even second marriage is without sin. And so we are all called to flee to Jesus' loving arms like a child to learn where we go wrong, why we went wrong, how we went wrong, and how the power of Jesus Christ at work in you, the power of the kingdom of God given to you in holy baptism, is still a part of your life, which continues to make you new and continues to make you free. Free to confess your failures. Free to give and receive forgiveness, not holding something, a grudge against somebody, but free to give and receive forgiveness. Free to be the child of God that Jesus says you are, a child of God that was covered in grace in the waters of baptism. You who are thoroughly blessed by Jesus in holy baptism. The kingdom of God, Jesus says, belongs to children, to those who have a childlike faith towards God and who receive all that God has to give. Hard hearts lead to nowhere fast, to broken dreams, to broken homes, to broken lives. But a heart that is like that of a child's, a heart that is open, like a child's, a heart that is willing to be molded by Jesus day in and day out for all of your life, dying every day to sin, rising to the newness of life. This assures you that you indeed are like a child, a kid of the kingdom of God. May your heart continue to be like a kid of the kingdom, that you may receive all that God is and all that God has, as he leads you, steers you, and guides you in this life and unto the next. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the Lord. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all creation according to its needs. Lord God, help us by your Spirit to receive your kingdom in humble repentance like little children, that we may enter it in the joy of your forgiveness in Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that we may pay closer attention to your word, lest we drift away from it and neglect the great salvation it reveals to us in Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, in a reflection of your eternal love, you join man and woman together so that they are no longer two, but one flesh. Bless the engaged, the newly married, and those who have shared many years together with even more of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, bless those who live a chaste, faithful single life, that they might know the blessings that you seek for them, guiding them in the life that you have given them, that they might know your mercy and your love beyond measure. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for those who have struggled with the pain of divorce. Even if lives have been separated, let them always know that you are there to receive them, to renew them, to lead them again in a new and different life, always touched by your presence
by your blessing, by your mercy. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, help all parents who have brought their children to Christ in the waters of holy baptism. Also bring them to him faithfully in the divine service, that he may continue to take them in his arms and bless them through his word. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, comfort Keith, Mike, Raphael, Avery, Brian, Bill, Marge, Barb, Krista, Mike, Patty, and all of Zion's homebound members, and all others who suffer in body or mind. You made the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering, that in all their trials they might put their trust in you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, deepen all who eat and drink Christ's body and blood today in the truth that he has made them bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, that they may not doubt but believe that he will hold fast to them forever. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
In preparation for the Blessed Sacrament of Holy Communion, the choir and the congregation will sing the offertory, O Father, All Creating, number 858 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Oh, Father, all creating.
Let us pray. Merciful Lord, we do not come to your table trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. Grant us so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and so to drink his blood, that we may ever dwell in him and he in us. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, whose way the John the Baptist prepared, proclaiming him the promised Messiah. For now, who he has been hidden from all creation, and now is come to in this world in the flesh, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after the supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do, as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
distribution, the choir will sing God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It, number 594 in the Lutheran Service Book. The congregation will then sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, number 770, also in the Lutheran Service Book. The postlude will be What a Friend We Have in Jesus by Charles W. Ore.
Because I could not take.
Please join us at the same time next Sunday morning. Worship services at Zion Lutheran Church are Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. and Saturday evenings at 5:15 p.m. Check us out on Facebook for live-streamed events or visit our website, www.zionlutheranwausau.com. Zion has been broadcasting on this radio station each Sunday morning for 84 years, and the Wausau Lutheran Hour continues to bring you the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome your financial gifts which make these broadcasts possible. You may make a donation and get more information at Zion's website, www.zionlutheranwausau.com. Or you may mail your donation to Zion Lutheran Church, 709 North 6th Street, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54403. And now, may our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you and grant you a joyful, safe, and blessed week.
Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.